Yeah, so this climate change thing happening in Copenhagen is pretty interesting, isn't it? It's a huge, huge affair. And this very town of our own, in this little village, there is quite a vocal element saying that, in fact, there is no such thing as climate change. And there is plenty of information that and so-called evidence that people can produce. I was just reading through a couple of letters in the Echo that this is really just something that occurs on a cyclical basis. And who knows? I certainly don't know. But it really, that quite the whole thing just seems to me that we, as humans, have created a situation where we're worsening our living conditions. We're destroying our environment in so many ways. And whether we're causing climate change or not, we should be radically assessing our lifestyles and doing something about pollution we cause. I'm a bit confused about what these carbon emission trading schemes are all about, but it does seem to me there's a bit of a scam in there somewhere and that people are going to make money out of it, and one of them won't be me. I've got something here from the ABC News that says, this is from last week, the chief negotiator for China and the small African nations at Copenhagen has accused Prime Minister Kevin Rudd of lying to the Australian people about his position on climate change. Old joke, how can you tell when a politician is lying? Yes, that's right, his lips are moving. Mbaba Di Aping, who represents China and the G77 group of small countries, was speaking as the talks remained deadlocked. And world leaders, including Mr. Rudd, began arriving in the Danish capital. What were they deadlocked on? What a fabulous holiday this is for so many people over there in Copenhagen, which I imagine is quite a beautiful city. And I don't think they're travelling the backpacker route, these people. No, no, no. They'd be first class all the way. So what? Why is Mr. Rudd? Where is Mr. Rudd lying? Not why. Where? The message Kevin Rudd has given to his people is a fabrication. It's fiction. It does not relate to the facts, because his actions are climate change scepticism in action. All that Australia has done so far is simply not good enough. It's puzzling in the sense that here is a Prime Minister who has actually won the elections because of his commitment to climate change. He was the only Prime Minister who claimed and clearly said, we have to do something. And within a very short period of time, he changes his mind and changes his position. Ah, he's been accused of siding with the United States and the European Union. So the talks have reached a deadlock because the developed world is not committed to helping poor countries in their efforts to adapt to, well, of course not, you know, the developed world. They are only interested in so-called poor countries. The third world countries is what we can rip off from them. How we can impoverish them even further, how we can addict them to tobacco, how we can sell them crap food, and how we can rip off all their minerals. But that's all right. I mean, it happens to us here in Australia too, you know. Other more developed nations in Australia are doing exactly that to us, ripping off our minerals and timber and resources. Vanessa and myself and a couple of others are have decided on organising a bingo afternoon and evening. I can't remember exactly the date we've organised it for, but it will be in the hall, the very same hall where the Christmas party is occurring this afternoon. And I believe it's maybe the 16th of January, but we'll certainly get back to you on that one to give you a firm date. But anyway, it'll be great, great fun. There will be food available, there'll be bingo prizes and innovative bingo calling, and we're hoping also to have some musical entertainment. So if there are people out there, I'll get to the point in a minute why we're doing all this. If there are people out there with musical expertise who would like to donate some of their time, a couple of songs or whatever, to entertain the masses that will be surely thronging the hall at that point, then please get in touch. How? Get in touch. Okay, you can get in touch with me. My name's Jack, and you can find me quite often at the Hemp Bar. And if you don't find me there, you can leave a message for me there. You can bump into Vanessa in many places around town, most particularly at the Centrelink office in the early part of the week. And a message can be left for Vanessa at the Neighbourhood Centre. And why are we doing this? We're doing it to support the four defendants now left who are about to be sued for trillions by the Guns Corporation. I'll tell you this story. I'll read it to you, in fact. In the annals of Australian forest protest, the Battle of Baker's Creek should barely rate a mention. It was a small grim affair in Tasmania's Huon Valley that pitched old-time loggers against incoming settlers. The loggers, contracted to Guns Limited, wanted to cut native forests on surrounding hillsides at the hamlet of Lucaston. The Greenies failed in their attempt to buy the land and then set up a blockade. So badly organised were they that no one was manning the first blockade when police swooped early one morning to clear it. Over the next few months, there were a few arrests, and eventually the loggers departed after cutting little. Local though it was, the Battle of Baker's Creek in 2003 now has a standing unusual for such struggles. It's all that's left of the Guns 20 case, the landmark civil action against environmental protest of the Guns Corporation. Baker's Creek is also symbolic of a much greater problem for Guns. This little protest poses an obstacle to the timber giant's long-touted $2.2 billion pulp mill. turning trees into pulp. Isn't that gross? If it is to turn the stalled project into reality, Australia's largest timber firm may have to undergo a radical makeover. It may need to show that instead of pursuing protesters, it has community support for what it does, and that same company will have to stop wood chopping old growth forest. Gunns began its case against 20 environmentalists, including the Greens leader Bob Brown, 5 years ago, just as it unveiled the pulp mill project. It sought $6.9 million in damages and alleged an overarching conspiracy through a series of protests against its operations, both in the forest and in woodchip plants. Many of the defendants say they face the threat of financial ruin in the case, which is regarded by environmental lawyers as a watershed suit. Strategic litigation against public participation is the name. The acronym is SLAP, Strategic Litigation Against Public Participation. Chairman of Gunns, John Gay, firmly defended his behaviour. What we're sick of is the malicious damage some people are doing to us. Okay, well, Mr. Gay, what we're sick of is the malicious damage you people are doing to the bloody forests. However, Mr. Gay says, we will continue to chase that down to the nth degree. Over the years, the conspiracy claim and others by Gunns were thrown out of the Victorian Supreme Court. Gradually, the companies settled with defendants or dropped them from their action. Now all that's left of the original case is a claim for $184,000 against four people involved in the Battle of Baker's Creek. Gunns calculate its legal costs so far at $2.8 million. Of course we're concerned about it, says Gay, but we are also concerned about what protests do to the company. Gunns apparently started another civil action against 13 protesters who shut down one of its woodchip mills at Triobana for several hours. But global self-regulation in the forest industry increasingly means that chasing down a few greenies with the heavy hand of corporate finance law is no longer acceptable. With financing still tight, Gunns is likely to require a partner to get the pulp mill up and running. It has already spent $200 million on the project, but a partner brings in new standards. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, so apparently, well, Bob Brown had quite an amount of money hit on him, didn't he? A couple of hundred thousand, maybe? I can't remember exactly. So good old Gunns. Fabulous corporation out there destroying our forests. But they are, I guess, providing employment for some people. So the Battle of Baker's Creek is due to go before the Supreme Court in Melbourne in February. At least two of the four defendants deciding to self-represent. There's a joke about that, isn't there? Two impoverished Londoners. Oh, yes, right. Okay, so a decision raising the spectre of the McGlibel case in which two impoverished Londoners fought for years against fast food giant McDonald's, tying up costly legal resources in a PR disaster. Then there is the other community in the Tamar Valley. During a bitter exchange at the AGM, this is the Gunns AGM, Tamar residents claimed that 70% of local people were against the mill and told Gay, this community is going to fight you to the end if it takes 30 years. Gay snapped back, well, you'll have about 25 years of the mill operating. So what's that all about? Okay, the four people who are still being sued and still having legal action taken against them, they need some money. So we decided, Vanessa and myself decided, that a good way to raise some money for them would be to have this fundraising day in Nimbin. It will be a beautiful day. It'll be lovely food. It'll be great fun playing bingo and housey and, you know, hoi, all those other names for that game. And as I said, there'll be some good music and it will be quite cheap and there'll be prizes and it'll just be a lot of fun.